I'm afraid I chickened out a few moments ago. You know, Skip is so much fun. He's an incorrigible character. I know better than to tell any jokes after he has spoken somewhere, because he's always on the cutting edge of them. But when he asked me, you know, that they told me they're going to sing my favorite song, is it what, the Beer Barrel Polka? And I chickened out there, Skip, so... Well, I love that. Pardon me?
You just redeemed yourself.
Thank you. Are we in good graces with you, am I?
Oh, amen.
And as far as I know, I am with everybody else, too. Well, as Dawson would say, you are a sight for sore eyes. And I'd say, you're a sight for eyes with a little glaucoma. Or cataracts. What a delight to see you. To think that we could just live long enough and to have this privilege, and to those who had the idea and made it come to pass, I'm deeply, deeply grateful. And it's so much fun to meet everybody that I know. Now, if I called you by the wrong name, you might take exception to that, but I don't think there's anybody here that I didn't recognize right off. When Skip asked me if I would bring a devotional at the opening session, without thinking, I instantly said yes, because for some years now, I've been trying to figure out a way how I could thank the staff of those who stood with me, behind me, and Lucy and me, and supported us and were patient with me for all these years. And when he asked me, I thought, that's my opportunity. Now it's here. And I realize I couldn't figure out words enough to say, to tell you how much you mean to us and how deeply we appreciate you. And thought the best I could do is to give you that familiar verse, Ruth 2:12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So thank you so much from the depths of our hearts, and for the privilege of doing this. The text I have selected for our devotional is 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14 in the NIV. Be on your guard, stand firm in the Lord and the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. Be on your guard. In spite of our age, we're still sinners. We better be on our guard. I like to tell the story I heard from Paul Harvey a few years ago, where in Southern California, the police found a band of 10 women pickpockets. And part of them would dress and act provocatively to distract men's attention, while the others picked their pockets. The police found 24 of their victims, and here's the punchline. Their ages were 64 to 90. I laughed. I said to myself, the Bible is true. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of a man are never satisfied. The body slows down, but the mind doesn't. Now, I know what a man's besetting sin is. I can never figure out what a woman's besetting sin is, and decided they don't have any. Unless maybe it's picking men's pockets. Be on your guard. At our age, we're still sinners. And there still is a devil who goes about seeking not just to annoy us, aggravate us, or embarrass us, but he's still out to destroy us. And I don't know about you, but I find myself with frequent, what I call small encounters, where I'm resisting the devil by the blood of Jesus and by a word of God spoken out loud. Be on your guard, there is a devil. And be on your guard, we still live in a hostile world that is antagonistic to God and to the ways of God. And from what I read, probably 9 out of 10 Christians are not changing the world is changing them. They are being squeezed into its mold. This afternoon I picked up something which I've subsequently lost, by Chuck Colson, in which he said, we are losing the cultural war. He said, I believe we're in for some genuine persecution within 5 years. If the goal was to change the world, then we failed in our lifetime, at least in this country. Be on your guard. The battle is still on. And then he says, stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. I recall some years ago visiting overseas, and a young missionary there was very, just a neat guy, but very indecisive. Always trying to second-guessing himself, and had his wife disturbed, and the other missionaries around, and he didn't know if he should be a missionary or not, and just constantly double-minded. And I talked with an older missionary from another mission who knew this young man. And he said, Lauren, I think his problem is that the great truths of the Bible have never truly gripped his soul. Well, by this time in our lives, there should be some great truths of the Bible that we don't hold on to, but they hold us. They truly grip our souls. Just one. What about redemption? Deliverance through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. I work out over in U.S. Swim and Fitness, and as I was in the locker room a few weeks ago, and a guy looked over me and said, like they do, how you doing? And I said, that little quip I sometimes use, well, pretty good for my age and shape. And he said, well, you'll be around a long time. I said, well, maybe so, but someday my funeral will come. But you know what? I won't be there. And I waited a little bit till that sunk in. I said, there's a verse in the Bible that says that God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. For he shall receive me. So when they lay my body in the grave, I'll be long gone. I don't know if that's a good way to witness or not. I didn't check that out with Jim Peterson. But I remember he said, well, I guess it's better to believe there is a God and find out there isn't one than to believe there's not one and find out there is. Yeah. Then another guy across the locker room, he heard it and he asked me, hey, what was that you guys said? So I got to repeat it. But you know, for me, that verse, Psalm 49:15, I don't have to hang on to it. It holds me. It's a great truth. And as life goes along, it holds you. Not long ago, a young NAV staff, a little get-together here, asked me, do you think about the Lord's soon coming, second coming? I said, no, I don't. But I do think about my soon going. And I have a vision from James 4. It says the judge is standing at the door. And there he is. Either he's going to come in, or I'm going to go out. And in either case, there's going to be a meeting for me relatively soon. But I'll meet someone who loved me enough to die for me. And I know that I'll be with him forever. What a great truth. And there are others. Then he goes on, he says, be men of courage. Now, courage is a mental willingness to endure, to hang in there, to stick with it. And some of you know I'd love through the years to quote Winston Churchill, saying success is never final, failure is seldom fatal, it's courage that counts. And it's certainly true, isn't it? Success is never final. You know how it is, you had a problem in your ministry, family, or somewhere, went on for months and maybe years, and one day it clears up, and you think, oh, I have a chance to rest. A little respite here. And maybe the day isn't over till bang, you're hit with another. And you think, oh, no, I don't get any relief. While we know by now that you climb one mountain only to find there's another one. Last year I was introduced to somebody in town, a man, and they said he was this, he was that, and he did that. And we got all through, the man looked at me and says, well, what are you doing now? that's a good question. You know, I find that nobody asked to see my slides. Nobody asked to tell me about trips that I took. They don't ask me what it was like to be the president of the Navigators. In fact, last week, there was a big article in the local paper about the Navigators. And it featured Dawson with pictures of him, and there was a good comments there by Jerry White. Well, in one of the pictures, Dawson's clowning in the foreground, and I'm standing in the background. And I thought, you know, that was also kind of typical of those days. I used to give a talk. I was a tail on a kite. He was the kite. I was the tail back there. And under the picture, it identified me. Well, that afternoon, I was working in the yard, and an older couple in our neighborhood walked by, and the lady said, "We saw your picture in the paper this morning. You were much slimmer then." Yeah, I was then. And one or two other times that I can remember. Success is never final. But failure is seldom fatal. Several times I've had leaders of other organizations ask me, "Did you ever try management by objectives in the Navigators?" I said, "Yes, we did." About 1970, I introduced them. It got us on track, but it nearly tore us apart. And some of you remember that. And I thought back since, right, as bad as it wasn't fatal. We made it. Here we are. Maybe there are some that aren't here that would have been if it weren't for that. But, you know, failure is seldom fatal. Hang in there. Stick with it. Pick yourself up. Go on. It's courage that counts. So be men of courage. And then he says here, be strong. Be strong. Now in Ephesians 6:10, he amplifies that, or he tells how. Be strong in the power of the Lord, or be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Well, how do you do that? Well, that takes us back to John 15, doesn't it? Abiding in Christ. In John 15:6, Jesus said, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered," dried up. "And men gathered them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Now we talk about burnout. That's the ultimate burnout. And it starts with a failure to abide in Christ. Well, I figured out, and I find some other people did too, that there are probably 5,000 years of ministry experience represented in this room tonight. By this time, we ought to have learned to abide in Christ and what it means, and to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ooh, I feel a sermon coming on that, but this is a 20-minute devotional, and Skip is going to go like this when I'm close. No, like this, I think, is what he's going to do. So be strong. Okay, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. I remember when I was considering retiring, the Dr. Bob Smith from Bethel College was here as a speaker, and I was talking with him about it. He said, "Well, Lauren, when that day comes, and thereafter, I want you to remember this. Be kind. Always be kind. Be honest. Tell the truth. But in all your dealings, be kind." Paul says, do everything. Everything. Everything in love. That's the standard. Have you met it? Not yet, huh? That's the goal. Let's keep working that way. Now, so here we are. All this experience, we know enough by now to be on our guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be people of courage. Be strong and do everything in love. Now I want to ask you one thing. Just before you go to sleep tonight, would you take out your Bible, unless you've memorized these, and just read over these verses before you go to sleep? Will you do that? Yeah, nod your head if you will. Thank you very much. Right. Let's pray. Lord, here we need help from the Holy Spirit to know how to pray. But I do know one thing, to thank you for the countless blessings, the countless victories, the ups and the downs, but here we are tonight, better for them, more like Jesus, and still left here in this world to represent you. What a privilege. Lord, I ask, as some of us I'm sure have come with some deep concerns, some needs, maybe battle scarred, may this be a time of refreshing, of healing, of reviving, as well as renewing our friendships. And in these short hours together, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, lead and prompt each one of us in every contact, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.